God. Now, I'm reading tonight from the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning at the 33rd verse. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now I'm turning to Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse number 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I want us to note in our study that each of these churches, Christ introduces himself in a different manner to each one of them. The first church we studied was the church at Ephesus, and Christ introduced himself as the one that walked among the candlesticks or the lampstand. Number two was a church at Smyrna. He introduced himself as the one that was dead, but now is alive. The third church at Pergamos, he introduced himself as having the sword that had two sharp edges. Now, in our study tonight, he introduces himself as the Son of God. Now, there is a reason why he introduced himself as the Son of God. It seems that under each condition in which he introduces himself to a church, there was a certain thing in that church, or something was happening in that church, that made him introduce himself as the way that he did introduce himself. Now, when he let this church at Thyatira know that he was the Son of God, he had a reason for that. He had a reason to say that I am the Son of God, and I introduce myself to this church under that title, the Son of God. At that particular time in church history, and as you know, we have tried to establish the fact that each one of these seven churches represented a period of time in church history from the establishment of the New Testament church in the city of Jerusalem until the rapture of the church or the coming of the Lord. And at this particular time in church history, in this time that this church represented in church history, they were trying to rob Christ of his deity. They were trying to keep him as the son of a human mother. They were trying to take away his absolute deity. But as I teach to you, as I preach to you the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, I'm happy to tell you that man has not robbed him of his deity, nor his glory, nor his power, because we still believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. We believe that he was more than the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. We believe that he was more than a servant. We believe that he was God Almighty wrapped up in a temple of human flesh. We believe that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We believe in the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. Let me quote from John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go on down into the same chapter, and you'll find this statement. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if the Word was with God, and if the Word was God, and if the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that was Jesus Christ, who manifested God in a tabernacle or in a temple of flesh. We are not to rob him of his deity. Now, I feel that I should read from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible teaches the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. But in this certain particular age of the church, they were trying to rob him of his deity. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, here is a declaration of truth. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Hallelujah. That ought to make you say praise the Lord tonight. When they were trying to strip him of his glory, his deity, and his power, John simply confirmed the great truth of the deity of Jesus Christ. He said, we know that the Son of God is come, and he is true, and we are in him that is true. This is the true God and eternal life. Then he added this verse, little children, keep yourselves from idols. When you worship the true God, you're not worshiping idols. You are worshiping the Creator of all things. Hallelujah. The Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Praise the Lord. We believe that, don't we? Now, they were trying to strip him of his deity to make Jesus popular as the son of Mary so that people would be taught, they would be persuaded to go through Mary for an answered prayer. But that is absolutely contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. That is not so. We don't go through the Virgin Mary to reach Jesus Christ. We go directly to Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, it will be given you. He said, you will be hated of all men for my name. not for the name of Mary, but you'll be hated of all men for my name. For my name, for my name. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God, not to the Virgin Mary, not to the mother of Jesus Christ, but he that cometh to God, the individual that comes to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They were trying to rob him of his deity, his glory, and his power. I looked in John chapter 2 today at the wedding feast of Cana, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and Jesus was there. And Mary told Jesus, said, they are out of wine. Jesus turned and said, woman, what have I to do with thee? You know what Jesus called his mother? He called her woman. He didn't make a practice of going around and saying, hi, Mom. How you doing there, Mom? Listen, he called her a woman. Did you ever notice that in John chapter 2? Yes, sir. John chapter 2. If people would stop long enough to understand exactly what goes on. And I think there was a reason that Jesus did that. Because he knew in the future years that Satan would try somehow to give the glory that belonged to him to his mother. And this false doctrine would be taught that you had to approach Christ through his mother and let the mother persuade Jesus to answer your prayer. But that's not the way it is tonight. We don't pray to dead saints. We don't worship idols, and we don't pray to idols. But we pray and worship the one that said, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and hell. Now there's a reason for all of this. Now somebody said, what is the reason? Corruption prevailed in this particular time and period of the church. What brought on this corruption? As I told you in the outset of these studies, the seven parables that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13 runs parallel to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Now the parable that I read to you tonight of the woman that came with leaven and she put it into three measures of meal. Now, leaven is a type of evil and sin. Paul had quite a bit to say about leaven. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, let us therefore purge the leaven. That's the reason when we have communion that we have unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Now, notice that leaven in the scripture means evil. It means corruption. Now, exactly what was it that corrupted things at this particular point in the time of church history? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus said there was a woman that came with leaven and she put it into three measures of meal. That meal is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fine flour is Jesus, the Son of God. But Jezebel, the woman Jezebel, introduced a false doctrine. That was the leaven that she introduced. That's the leaven that she put into the three measures of meal, and it caused corruption. Hallelujah. I'm going to bear down a little tonight. Now let me read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Now when you go to talking about leaven, a lot of people don't even know what you're talking about relative to the Bible. Now Jesus had somewhat to say about leaven in Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read that, chapter 16 and verse 6. Then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, all ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven, the Pharisees, and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, in Scripture, leaven is a false doctrine. Leaven corrupted the church in this period of time we're studying about tonight. A false doctrine will corrupt any church. A false doctrine will corrupt any group of people. A false doctrine. That's the leaven that the woman. Now, I'm going to talk about the woman Jezebel here in a few minutes. Now, there's quite a debate among Bible scholars as to the true identity of this woman Jezebel that I read from Revelation chapter 2. Some say that she was the wife of the pastor and she was doing some erroneous teaching. Now, if I had been pastor and that was my wife that was doing some erroneous teaching, I'd put a stop to it. Now, I'm bragging tonight. You see, my wife's not a preacher. But if she'd go around here teaching a false doctrine, we would have a court, and that in a hurry. Then others will tell you that she introduced this, and it was simply a false religious system. Well, whatever it was, whether it was really the pastor's wife, or whether it was a prominent lady in the church, or a religious system, they accomplished what they set out to accomplish. This was the woman that took leaven and she injected it into 3 measures of meal, and it corrupted the church, because that, my friend, represented a false doctrine. Now, somebody said, I don't believe in preaching doctrine. I know that. A lot of folks that don't believe in preaching doctrine, they don't have a doctrine. That's why they don't believe in it. I don't know whether you folks know anything about cattle or not. How many of you know anything at all about cattle? You know, there's some cattle that has horns and there's some cattle that don't have horns. And those that don't have horns are called muley-headed cows. They don't have horns. And I've never seen a muley-headed cow that believed in hooking. You know the reason why? They don't have nothing to hook with. And the reason a lot of folks don't believe in preaching doctrine, they don't have anything to preach. When you hear somebody cry, no love, no law but love and no creed but Christ, you can almost brand that man as preaching nothing. No law but love and no creed but Christ. Now the Lord struck out against the leaven of the Pharisees, and that leaven represented false doctrine. Now then, what was the leaven of the Pharisees? Hypocrisy. The leaven of the Sadducees was self-justification. They denied angels, they denied spirits, and they did not believe in a resurrection. And Jesus said, now, this leaven is the doctrine of the Pharisees. It's false doctrine. You know, the Scripture said that there'd come a time in the last days when men would not endure sound doctrine. And I want to tell you tonight that this woman, Jezebel, she was an artist at mixture. She mixed the false doctrine into the church. It corrupted the church. And let me tell you, when somebody tells you that doctrine has nothing to do with your salvation, you quote to them Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible teaches that men are saved when they obey and hear the doctrine that was delivered them. It takes doctrine to save you. It takes doctrine to establish you. It takes doctrine to get you ready to meet Jesus Christ when He comes again. Now I want to tell you the New Testament church. I'm talking about the original that started at Pentecost. The Scripture tells me that after that church was established and thousands began to get converted, the Bible tells me that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles had a doctrine. What was it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the apostles' doctrine. But the church world has corrupted that doctrine. But here's a church that believes in the doctrine. I believe in it with everything within me that I can't believe. Praise God. And I do not want any leaven of false doctrine injected into the true gospel and into the true church. Now, if you will notice carefully, the church in Acts, they knew nothing of mixture. There was no leaven in the book of Acts. Wherever they went, they preached Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Wherever they went, they preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. They knew nothing about a mixture. Now notice the accusation that he had against this church. You suffer that woman Jezebel. Now let me introduce the Jezebel of the Old Testament. Now, if this woman was the pastor's wife or some prominent lady in the church or a religious system, the Jezebel of the Old Testament was certainly a prototype of this one you find in the New Testament. Now let me go back for just a minute about the Jezebel of the Old Testament. You know who she was? She was the daughter of the king of Sidon, and he was a heathen. And she was a heathen. And Ahab married her. Now Ahab was the king of Israel. Now here's your mixture. And Jezebel of the Old Testament brought her heathen gods, her false gods, and her idols, and she mixed it in with the true worship of Jehovah God of the Old Testament. And the mixture was not pleasing unto God. You can't have a mixture and be right. You've got to purge out the leaven. Take away the false doctrine. And if you don't, it's going to corrupt the whole lump, the Bible said. I believe in straight Bible preaching. I believe in teaching it like it is. Jezebel. One writer said that Jezebel was the meanest woman on top side of the earth. And I kind of believe that. And another writer said that she was that Jezebel of a Jezebel. And you've heard a lot about Jezebel. That's the old gal that painted her face and dogs eat her up. That's right. That's the Jezebel of the Old Testament. Man, could I ever lower the boom down a little holiness right now? Well, praise the Lord. Jezebel, a heathen woman, Ahab, the king of Israel. Now, Jezebel, she knew the art of mixture. She mixed worship that was not ordained of God into the worship of Jehovah God that was ordained of Him. She was the art at mixture. Now the ladies, they know how to cook cakes and sweet things. I can look around tonight and see the effects of it. For these signs shall follow them that eat this kind of stuff. The signs are following you tonight. The certain ingredients. You put a little of this and a little of that. If you leave out some of this and you leave out some of that, it's not complete. But when all ingredients are in and it's mixed, it will produce what you expect it to produce. Now you hear me as I preach tonight from a burdened heart. This heart of mine cries out for reality. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. And when I know what the Bible teaches, then I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. Then when I stand upon the teaching of the Word of God, and when I stand upon what God has ordained in His Word, I can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory forever. O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. She was the art at mixing. She had an art of mixture. She was an artist at it. She knew what it was all about. Now, if you will, notice this Jezebel of the New Testament. Now, no doubt as I read between the lines, Jesus said that she was teaching the deep things of Satan. Now, a lot of people, they take great pride in the fact that they're deeper than anybody else. And you hear some teachers, now I have a new revelation and I'm going to give you some deep things of God. In most cases it turns out to be the deep things of Satan. You can go to preaching something that has a tinge of mystery about it and everybody wants to know what in the world that's all about. People like mystery. When you just preach the simple, plain gospel of Jesus Christ, not too many people are interested in that. They want something that's got the word mystery hung to it. The tinge of mystery in it somewhere. But you hear me as I talk tonight. There's a lot of people will take the Bible as far as the Bible suits what they believe. As long as it measures up to what they believe. And their doctrine, they take the Bible. While there's some people believe that the head of that church has the power to alter or to add to or to take it from anything. Now, as the trend of time goes on, if they see that it's beneficial, they can add a doctrine. Or if they see that it's beneficial, they can take away a doctrine. That's not the way it is. The Bible is this clean, clear, cut book. You can't add to and you can't take from. Whatever the Bible said is forever settled in heaven. For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Deep things, the deep things. And people rely upon things that God shows them. He'll never show you something contrary to that book that's already settled in heaven. Now notice, 325 years after Christ at Nicaea, Constantine had become the head of the Roman Empire, the emperor of the Roman Empire. And he had to bring about the marriage of church and state. He brought together paganism and Christianity. He had to do that in order to please everybody. Something to please the Christians. Something to please the pagans. Because now he brought them all together. And the persecution of the church had been lifted. The church now held an honorable position. People were rushing to get into it. Constantine was an unconverted man. When he did all of this, he was not even a baptized man, but he embraced Christianity to this extent. He got everybody together. Now, he got everybody together by mixture. That was 11. Got everybody together by mixture. He brought the pagans and the Christians together. Now, you can't win out in the end by compromise. Now, how many people, am I talking here tonight that you really, honest to God, believe that baptism in Jesus' name is a way to baptize your converts? Well, at the conference in Nicaea, 325 A.D., that was changed from Jesus' name to the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They had to work out something that would be pleasing to both sides. And according to church history, they really had a hard argument about it. But the Trinity formula won out in that case. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible anywhere. Did you know that the word Trinity was coined in the year 200 A.D.? it was coined. The word was coined 200 A.D. The apostles knew nothing about a trinity of gods, nor a trinity of persons. And the doctrine that's going around over the country, there's one God, all right, but one God has three persons. That don't make common nonsense to me. One God having three persons. They say it can't be understood. That's the truth. It can't be understood. Anything that's that far off a beam, it can't be understood. They say you can't explain it. I will admit that. Nobody can explain it. But I can explain what I believe. I don't believe in three persons of one God. I believe in three manifestations of one God. In creation, He was the Father. In redemption, He was the Son. In salvation, He's the Holy Ghost. But yet, He's one eternal God embodied forever in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the three manifestations of God. But all of this came about when the woman, the system, injected leaven into three measures of meal, corrupted the church, corrupted the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. The word Trinity was coined in the year 200. Baptism was changed in 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea. And they didn't even settle on all of the doctrine until 675 A.D. That was really when they got settled on the doctrine. It's a strange thing that the early church got settled on their doctrine in the book of Acts. It didn't take 675 years to get settled on a doctrine. Praise God, they got settled on their doctrine in the book of Acts. It was so simple. Listen, let me tell you, people are trying to hide Christ behind a multitude of words. And when men get through preaching, you never know what they preached about. It's time for us to uplift and preach and unfold and reveal the name of Jesus Christ. Not in a mysterious way, but preach Him as He is. The bright and the morning star. The first and the last. Hallelujah. And anybody can understand that kind of preaching. The church was corrupted. The gospel was corrupted. Now, I want to show you something here tonight in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, don't ever worry. I talked to a preacher, hasn't been all that long ago, and he said, I'm going to be here in the tribulation. I said, I don't doubt that. I said, the way some folks live, I said, I don't doubt that at all. I said, you'll probably be here. Now, never get it in your mind that there won't be a church here during the tribulation period. There will be a church here, but not the true church. You see, there's always a true and a false. You look for a minute. There are two Jerusalems. There's the earthly Jerusalem. There's the heavenly Jerusalem. Look again, there are two Babylons. There's a commercial or a political Babylon. Then there's a so-called spiritual Babylon, which represents the false church. There are two. They go in pairs. There are two kingdoms. There's a spiritual kingdom, and there's a natural kingdom. There are two kinds of people. God has a natural people, Israel. He has a spiritual people. That's His church. His spiritual people. That's His church. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 17. These are the facts of the Bible. If you notice in the chapter I read in chapter 2 for our study, He introduced Himself as the Son of God, the one that has eyes as flames of fire, and His feet as brass. Now, these eyes, the fire, represents eyes that search. They look. They know. They seek out the deep crevices of a man's heart and mind to the extent that he knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're thinking before it ever goes into action. Then He said that His feet were like brass. That means that one day He's going to walk in judgment. Brass in the Bible is a type of judgment. Now let me go to Revelation chapter 17, and I'll read to you about this false church that was represented by Jezebel of the Old Testament and by the Jezebel of the New Testament in Revelation chapter 2 that injected the leaven into the three measures of meal. Now here's the false church. And that came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now you notice in the scriptures that I've read that this Jezebel caused the kings of the earth to commit fornication. And the Old Testament accused the people of God as they went whoring after other gods. He called it whoredom. Now notice, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the beast, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now there's a literal adultery, there's a literal fornication, there is a spiritual adultery, and there's a spiritual fornication. I'm going to say this, but hair lips are deaf. You crawl into bed with a false church and embrace that false church and deny the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, and you have committed spiritual adultery and fornication. That's right. Then somebody said, it makes no difference what you preach, just so you're preaching Christ. You can't preach Christ without preaching Him in His fullness. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, gold represents the deity of our Lord, the purity of our Lord. Now she has a golden cup in her hand, but what was on the inside of that cup? It was full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. There will be a church after the rapture. There will be a church after the true church is gone. But it's going to be Babylon, the mother of harlots. She's going to ride the beast in the power. There will be a recognized church. There will be a systemized form of government. It's going to work out for a while. But that's not the ending. You hear me tonight? The scripture says this one that introduced himself as the Son of God had eyes like flames of fire, and his feet were like brass. There'll be a day when he's going to walk down the avenue of a false church and false doctrine. He's going to pull it to the ground. He's going to destroy it. But thank God, Jesus said, the church I build will be built upon a rock, and that church will never be destroyed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me read now. Chapter 18. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Oh, that's it, friend. Listen, they're going to be pulled to the ground one day. They're going to be uprooted and pulled down. I say, they're going to be pulled down. But listen, there was a note of encouragement in this letter that he writes to the church at Thyatira. Thank God, everybody in that church never went the way of Jezebel. There were some there that didn't. And that's the way it's been all down from the day of Pentecost till now. God's always had a people. There was a day when it wasn't too many compared to the population of the world. But thank God he still had people. Now he said, this is what I'm going to do to you. He said, now you that will remain faithful to my doctrine and to my name, I'm going to give you the morning star. I'm going to give you the morning star. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that Jesus is the morning star. You know what he's going to give to the true, to the faithful, to the overcomer? He's going to give us of himself. Of himself. Of himself. How much more could he give? Now let me read one more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. At the closing of our service tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13 through 19. Now notice this very carefully as I read tonight from the Scripture. And as I take these Scriptures tonight, and I have tried to lay them out to you the best that I could, there is something that I want you to notice. Now this is 2 Peter, the first chapter, and the 13th verse. Now this is just before Peter died. He knew he was going to die shortly, and this is what he said. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Let's stand with our hands uplifted and thank God tonight. Praise God, praise God.